You have the right to remain silent, to an attorney if you can't afford one, to a speedy trial with a jury of your peers. These are some of the protections that Americans have come to expect if they're ever charged with a crime.
But in this country, we also have a separate justice system, one that has courtrooms, lawyers, and judges, but where none of those protections exists. Immigration courts, where on average about 60% of immigrants actually win their cases and get to stay in the U.S. But in some of those courts, less than 5% win. For the NPR podcast Embedded, NPR reporter Caitlin Dickerson went inside one of these courts. Here's the story.
Thousands of immigration cases are heard every year in Lumpkin, Georgia, where more than 97% of immigrants lose their cases and get deported. There are no working immigration lawyers in Lumpkin. Cell phone service drops off when you get into town.
Welcome to the city of Lumpkin.
Into the city of Lumpkin.
I'm in the car with Julio Moreno. He's an immigration defense lawyer, and he drives 3 hours from Atlanta a few times a month to represent clients. You won't hear any immigration judges or prosecutors in this story because immigration officials are barred from talking to reporters. We're going to follow one of Julio's cases to see how the system works from the inside.
And that's the jail.
It's a big white building, looks like one story.
The detention center holds nearly 2,000 immigrants. That's almost twice the number of people who live in the entire city. We get there early so Julio and his client named Sean can go over their strategy. Today is Sean's final immigration hearing, which means a judge will decide today whether or not he gets to stay in the United States.
Thank you.
A guard walks us into a small room with concrete walls. On the opposite side of a big sheet of glass, in walks Sean. He's tall, nearly 6 feet. He's wearing a red jumpsuit. His hair is cropped tight. He looks tired. We're only using his first name and his family members' middle names to protect their identities.
What's going on, Sean?
How are you doing? Let me get your case out so we can start talking.
Hi, Sean. I'm Caitlin.
Sean came to the U.S. legally from Guyana in South America when he was 10. He grew up in New York City, married his high school sweetheart. He has 3 kids, and in 2005, they moved the family to a suburb of Atlanta. Sean was arrested at home in 2011. He had 4 ounces of marijuana, 2 digital scales, and plastic baggies. Sean says he smoked weed, but he didn't sell it. But he was convicted of possession with intent to distribute marijuana. He went to jail for 1.5 years, and that conviction makes him a priority for deportation.
Once you get in there, you have to make sure the judge knows. I'm very remorseful. I'm ashamed that I put myself in here and my family.
Julio wants Sean to make 2 points very clear to the judge. One, that he's sorry for his mistakes. No denying them and no excuses. And two, that Sean's family will suffer if he's deported. There's a lot on the line for Sean today. If he wins, he could go home with his family. If he loses, he'll be deported to a country he hasn't seen in 3 decades, 3,000 miles away.
All right, Sean. See you in there in a couple hours.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
We walk outside and see Sean's family has arrived.
So how many of you are there?
It ended up being how many of us? 6 and 5, 11.
11 of them packed into 2 cars and drove for 3 hours to get here. I talk with Sean's wife, Marie.
So what happens today if you get a good outcome?
We go home and relive our lives. We have a party. We celebrate my mom's birthday, celebrate his homecoming. And
what's the plan? Did you guys talk about the plan if he doesn't get to come home today?
I don't even want to think about that. So I have no plan if they deny it.
Before we go in, I also talked to Joey, Sean and Marie's 9-year-old son. He's wearing a blue dress shirt and a bow tie.
What do you tell your friends if they ask where your dad is?
I say I'm on a business trip.
Oh, you do? Why do you say that?
Because, it's not really their business. And then my cousin said, his dad is in immigrant jail, too. And so he said, every time someone asks, he say in a business trip.
Is it easier just to say that than to have to talk about it?
Yes.
If Sean's deported, he won't be allowed back into the U.S. for 10 years. It's not clear if Joey understands this, but I can feel Sean's family's anxiety growing.
Sorry, not there.
Ready? Okay, we're going to go find out whether Sean gets to stay in the U.S. or not.
Today is January 14th, 2016, at the Stewart Immigration Court, Stewart Detention Center.
The courtroom's tiny, windowless. You couldn't record inside, so you're hearing the official government audio. Quality is pretty bad.
039-062.
Here's Julio's strategy. He thinks he can convince the judge to consider Sean a low-level drug offender rather than a drug dealer. The distinction is important because being a drug dealer will get you automatically deported. His argument is a little complicated, but it's based on a Supreme Court decision that supports his position. Okay, but even if Julio does that, he also has to convince the judge to use his discretion to keep Sean in the U.S. This is another difference between criminal and immigration law. In immigration court, once you win your legal argument, then judges are supposed to consider all of the positive and negative things about you and decide whether or not they think you deserve to stay. There are guidelines for what the judge should consider in making this really important decision, but ultimately, it's subjective. Remember, less than 3% of people here in Lumpkin succeed at this. Julio's track record is better. It's more like 20%, and he's feeling good about Sean's case. He calls Sean to the witness stand.
Why do you believe this court should give you a second chance to remain in the U.S.?
I promise you that I would never be back in none of these courtrooms ever again. I apologize for my mistakes I've made in the past, and I'm a changed person. I need my family, and they need me. That's all I have is my family in America here.
When the prosecutor questions Sean, he brings up something that wouldn't fly in criminal court, that Sean has been charged with attempting to sell marijuana four times since the 1990s. He's only been convicted once.
Now, sir, looking at your arrest history, a person might draw the inference, since you've been arrested in four different states for possession with intent to distribute drug crimes, that you had been dealing drugs. Have you ever dealt drugs in the United States?
No, sir. I'm going to object to that question.
In criminal court, a prosecutor would not be allowed to bring up these earlier charges. They were never proven, and they make the defendant look really bad. But in immigration court, the rules are different.
Overruled.
Sean has to answer. He says no. He's never dealt drugs. And then the prosecutor uses that answer against him.
Okay, but why did you plead guilty to possession with intent to distribute if you were not possessing with intent to distribute marijuana?
Because they're trying to give me 10 years in prison. I can't afford to do 10 years in prison for something, so I just took the guilty plea.
Julio calls Sean's wife and then his stepmother and his mother-in-law. Their testimony is supposed to help convince the judge that Sean deserves to stay.
This whole family is going to fall apart. We're falling apart already, and it hurts. And Sean is a loving boy, and I know he's going to do better. We can't live without Sean, sir. It's taking a toll on everybody.
After closing arguments, the judge goes back into chambers to deliberate. He's gone an hour and 15 minutes. The courtroom is silent. The government prosecutor sits typing away at his laptop. Marie and Sean Steele looks at each other once in a while, but they're not allowed to speak. Joey looks down into his hands, kicks his feet out in front of him, the way kids do.
We're back on the record.
When the judge walks back in, everybody, including me, sits straight up. And the judge does not bury the lead.
Sir, I am not going to grant your relief this afternoon. I'm going to order that respondent be removed from the United States to Guyana.
Sean lost. I look over at his family. They don't react. They just stare at the judge. Some silently hug the person next to them.
Paragraph applications, colon. Paragraph exhibits, colon. Paragraph one.
The judge's decision is incredibly technical. But the point is, Julio won his legal argument. He got the judge to think of Sean as a low-level drug offender. But he failed to convince the judge that Sean deserves to stay.
To the respondent, sir, I wish you the very best of luck, and we are adjourned.
Back outside, Julio explains to Sean's family what will happen next. Marie and Joey both have tears running down their faces. You can hear Sean's stepmother.
Criminal convictions, which that's the reason we're here. Everybody's conceding that he has been convicted.
Yeah, of course.
But the whole point of this defense is that he's changed and he's ready to make a full change in his life. So.
We get in the car and start heading back to Atlanta. It's going to be a long drive home, and an even longer one for Sean's family.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
A couple months later, I get a call from Sean in jail. His appeal with the immigration courts is still pending. He says he feels like the only country he's ever known is turning its back on him.
What happened to all the years that I've been in this country and paying taxes and all this stuff, you know, just to hell with me, you know?
To hell with me, he says. 2 days later, I get a call from Julio. Sean lost his appeal. He'll be deported to Guyana any day. I ask Julio what he thinks convinced the judge to rule against them, but he doesn't have any answers. In fact, he says he just won a really similar case the other day. He says this kind of thing just happens all the time.
That was NPR's Caitlin Dickerson. You can hear more from Lumpkin on the NPR podcast, Embedded.